turn back in our Bibles then today to 1 John. Be looking again at chapter 4, mainly verses 1 through 4 this morning. Would like to begin reading though, just to kind of set the tone with chapter 3 and verse 23. By the way, I didn't say it a while ago, but Joel and the kids are over at San Antonio, or at least they were, and he was debating whether he was going to come back last night or try to come back today. So I don't know whether they came back last night or whether they're still over there. But Well, Joel doesn't get to see his brothers very often, and so I guess when he gets a chance, he's gonna take as long as he can. So anyway, they may be here this afternoon or may not. I don't know. But anyway, 1 John chapter 3, verse 23, and this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, as he gave us commandment. And he that keepeth his commandments followeth or dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. No in between there, is it? And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I wanted to spend one more session on this thing of false prophets. The reason why is simply because that I believe it is the greatest issue of our day. There are not only many false prophets, but they are multitudes. I always kind of think of Christ throwing out, driving out the spirits, and one of them's name was Legion, wasn't it? And the reason they were called Legion is because he said that there's many, many of them. Well, there are many of these false prophets. In chapter 2 again, he's already told us that you've heard that Antichrist should come. Even now, are there many Antichrists? Now, we talked about some last Sunday. We talk about it from time to time. The fact that the Apostle Paul, speaking or writing to us in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, tells us that the time is coming when God is going to send a strong delusion. Now, again, the context of that statement is also within the coming, has to do with the coming, the second coming of Christ, and the fact that that man of sin is going to be revealed, that lawless one is going to be revealed. Now, there's different opinions about whether that is just one person or whether it is the Spirit, but we know for sure it is Spirit, don't we? That is the spirit that's going forth in this world, and God is going to send a strong delusion that they would believe a lie, And the reason that he's going to send that strong delusion is because that they loved not what? The truth. Because they loved not the truth. But now the question is, how is God going to spread this strong delusion abroad? And every indication is, and I don't think we can deny it, every indication and that undeniable truth is that God is going to send this strong delusion not to just one or two here and there and yonder, but it's going to be an overall, a world over delusion that God is going to send forth, and he's going to send it forth by the means of the false prophets. Let's just go over to 2 Thessalonians right quick in chapter 2. I don't know exactly where to begin here, but we'll just begin in verse 7. He says, "For the mystery of iniquity doth already work." So here is an agreement again between the Apostle Paul and the Apostle John, right? It already works. He says, "Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way." Well, there's no doubt that he's talking about God or in the person of the Holy Ghost here. "And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved." Now, last Sunday, Lord's Day, we looked in our text in the last verse there, in chapter 4, tells us that we are of God, talking to God's people, right? We are of God, little children. And what have we done? We've overcome them. Who is the them? It's the false prophets. But how have we done that? Lest we be raised up in our own conceits, in our arrogance, we've overcome them because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And who is the he that is in us? Well, it's Christ, again, by the Holy Ghost that is in us. And consequently, as John says, we know all things, right? We have an unction from the Holy One, and we know all things. So we're not deceived. Those that are truly God's people are not deceived by these false prophets, the false apostles, the false Christ that are coming into this world and existing right now. Verse 11 then, "And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness." So it's going to be by the means, though, of these false prophets. Look in Revelation, in chapter 16 of the Revelation. And by the way, this is the revelation of who? The revelation of Jesus Christ. It's not the revelation of John. It's the revelation by John, all right enough. But it's the revelation of Jesus Christ. Revelation chapter 16, verse 13, "And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet, right? For they are the spirits of devils working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of what? The whole world, to gather them to the battle of that great day of God. Now, again, no matter what our interpretation of Revelation is, there is going to be this gathering together. In other words, God is going to gather the world together that he might judge the world. In chapter 19 of this book of the Revelation, in chapter 20 it says, "And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone." There is a false prophet then, isn't there, that the spirit of which is going out into the world to deceive. But there is a trinity of evil, isn't there? There's a trinity of spirits. The devil is the great duplicator, isn't he? He's the father of lies. He's a great duplicator, and he attempts to duplicate everything that God is. And so there's three of them. The dragon, right? And the beast and the false prophet, all three of them. Now, again, they all have the same mission. Thank you. It's their purpose to deceive. But, yes. Brother Gene Breed used to make the remark very often that the devil is God's devil. And what do you mean by that? He simply meant that God uses Satan, God uses the devil to accomplish his purpose, and folks, he is going to accomplish this strong delusion by turning Satan loose upon the world. Now, most of us here, as far as I know, all of us here, believe that in Revelation chapter 20, where he's talking about the Satan being bound for 1,000 years, we don't believe that this is a literal 1,000 years, but we believe that Satan has been being bound, if you will, from the day that Christ arose from the grave, and that he has been limited in his powers of deception. But it says also that after this figurative 1,000 years, at least that's how I understand it, that after this figurative 1,000 years, he's going to be what? He's going to be loose for a little season, and what's he going to be doing in that little season? He's going to go out and deceive, the nations. Once more. And so we believe and understand that this is the way it's going to happen. In Revelation chapter 13, while we're here, we're told a very awesome thing here. Beginning in verse 7, "And it was given unto him to make war with the saints." Now, this is the dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns, and we won't go into that. But whatever else he is, this is the spirit of Satan going out into the world. "It was given unto him to make war with the saints." And here's the really striking thing, "and to overcome them." Now, how many people do you know today, I'm talking about professing Christians, that believe that Satan is going to overcome the saints? Well, we must be in it. But he's saying facetiously, honey.
Oh, okay. Well, I didn't hear what
But it's true, isn't it? But how is he going to overcome? How does this relate to the fact that Christ has said, upon this rock I'll build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it? How can we believe both of these things? If Satan's going to overcome the saints, but what is he talking about here? He's not talking about destroying the faith of the saints. You can't do that. We've already seen that John has said, ye are overcome them. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So how do we reconcile these things? Well, what he's talking about here when he says that he will overcome them, and by the way, this is a reference to Daniel, it says the same thing. Daniel's prophecy says the same thing. But what he's talking about is that he is going to, in effect, nullify the testimony of the people of God for a short period of time. Because it's pleasing to God. How does the truth go forth? The truth of God. Yeah, but by the preaching of the gospel, by the testimony of the church. It's always been that way, except when God closes the door, so to speak. Now, in the letter to the church of Philadelphia, in the third chapter of this book of the Revelation, we are told there that God opens and no man shuts, but also that God shuts and no man opens. Now, again, we don't really have to be so all fire consumed about, you know, well, when is this going to happen? It's a matter really of just recognizing it when it does happen. But it certainly appears that if we're not right in the midst of it, we sure are in the beginning of it. Because you and I both know, we all know this, that it is very, very seldom that you can really get anyone interested in those fiery things that JT was talking about earlier, those fiery things that has to do with the Word of God. They won't talk about God. They won't talk about Jesus. They want to talk about the Bible as long as it's not that fiery burning that burns away their sins. It's trivia. It's things that tickle the ears, right? According to the Apostle Paul. But here he says, he was given him to make war with the saints and overcome them, and power was given him over what? Over all kindreds and tongues and nations. Now, if you go back in this book of the Revelation and to chapter 5, we find there that God is going to take a people from where? Same place, right? But after he has taken a people from that, all those, that, those nations and tongues and tribes and peoples, then what? Is it just going to keep on going and going and going and going? No, it's not. My wife has been talking about what Christ, what Paul said in the latter part of the 11th chapter of Romans quite a bit lately. But he says there that he will cut it short in righteousness, for a short work will the Lord make upon the earth. So he's going to cut it short. When his people are in the fold, then what purpose is there to continue? Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. That's the thing that God's people have always looked for, isn't it? But it's the things that the mockers, scoffers, what are they saying? Yeah, where is the promise of the coming? For all things remain as they were. Let's just keep going on, you know. Sun rises, the sun sets, right? The rain falls and the rain ceases to fall. And it's going to be that way, isn't it? Because when God set the rainbow in the clouds after the flood of Noah's day, isn't that what he promised? To be seed time and harvest as long as the world stands. But it is going to come to an end, and dearly beloved, the preaching of the gospel, the word of truth, is going to cease to hold this world together. Now, last Thursday evening, Bruce came over and we were looking in 2 Peter chapter 3. That's where it talks about that there's going to be these scoffers. But it also says that they are willingly ignorant, right? That the world standing in the water and out of the water was preserved by what? By the word of God. Was then, right, says, and it is now. Same thing is taking place, except that what happens when the testimony of the church has been overcome by Satan being sent forth with this strong delusion? What is there to hold the world together? Nothing. And then we wonder why things are like they are today. The Old Testament type of this, of course, is given to us in 1 Kings chapter 22. In 1 Kings chapter 22, we find that Jehoshaphat has gone over to visit Ahab, King Ahab. Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, has gone to visit Ahab, king of Israel. And Ahab wants Jehoshaphat to go to war with him, right? Up to Ramoth Gilead to fight his enemies. And Jehoshaphat says, well, maybe we ought to inquire of the Lord about this before we do it. And so Ahab, what does he do? He brings out all of his prophets, right? In verse 6 of 1 Kings chapter 22, it says, "And the king of Israel gathered the prophets together, about 400 men." That's a lot of prophets, isn't it? And what are the? Yeah, majority rules anyway, especially if they're that big of a majority. In fact, they were all saying the same thing, weren't they? Every one of them saying the same thing. And here's the question. Shall I go against Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear? And they said, go up, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. Now, to Jehoshaphat's credit, he must have doubted something about all these 400, because he says, is there not here a prophet of the Lord? Jehoshaphat must not have thought all these 400 were of the Lord, right? Is there not a prophet of the Lord besides, that we might inquire of him? One man. So without, you know, going into all of this, Ahab says, yeah, there's one man. But he says he never speaks anything good about to me. You know, he never just always against me. Well, why is that, Ahab? I wonder if Ahab never thought about that, you know. Well, why? Well, you know, the funny thing is that Ahab must have, you know, really known that Micaiah was the prophet of the Lord. But, as J.T. said earlier, he didn't want to hear that. He didn't want to hear what Micaiah had to say. He wanted to hear what those 400 false prophets had to say. He was willingly ignorant. But anyhow, they bring Micaiah, and Micaiah, of course, he prophesies and tells him that if he goes up to Ramoth Gilead, he's going to die. Talking to Ahab. And then we take it up in verse 20. Verse 19. And he said, hear thou therefore the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, and all the hosts of heaven standing by him on his right hand and on his left. This is Micaiah now speaking here. And he says, and the Lord said, who shall persuade Ahab, right, that he may go up and fall at Ramoth Gilead? And one said on this manner, and another said on that manner, and there came forth a spirit and stood before the Lord and said, I will persuade him. And the Lord said unto him, wherewith? And he said, I will go forth, and I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of all of his prophets. Now, that's what we read over there in Revelation chapter 16, right? Verses 13 and 14, that is going to be a lying spirit in the mouth of the false prophet. And God said, thou shalt persuade him and prevail also, go forth and do so. Now therefore, behold, the Lord hath put a lying spirit in the mouth of all these thy prophets, and the Lord hath spoken evil concerning thee. But, again, Ahab didn't believe him, did he? But instead of that, he cast him into prison. And that's the last you ever hear of Micaiah. But the point is this morning, that just as all of those lying spirits that came forth out of the mouth of those false prophets, so it is in our day, this falsehood is being spread today by the mouths of thousands, of false prophets, and they're speaking, as Isaiah puts it, they're speaking smooth things. And why are they doing it? Because that's what the people love to hear. Of course, we know that the Apostle Paul in the New Testament says exactly the same thing, doesn't he? For in these last days, there's going to be those that are going to tickle the ears of people. They're going to say what people want to hear. That's what those false prophets were doing with Ahab. And it worked. Why? Because God has sent forth a lying spirit, and people are believing that lie. Now, again, folks, it's not just, they're not just trying to attack you and me. This thing is worldwide. You know, for, I forget exactly sometime that how long these periods are, but at least for 14, I like probably around 1600 years, you know, the whole world was shut off from the gospel for all practical purposes except for the nation of Israel. From the time of Christ, the nation of Israel has been, for all practical purposes, shut off from the Word of God and the truth of God, and if that gospel has been going to the Gentiles. But as we have studied in the Revelation again, in chapter 10, verses 7 and 8 there, the time is coming when God says, it's over, it's through. That gospel going to the Gentiles is through. Now, all of this time, the descendants of Ham have been shut out from the gospel message. But now, after the gospel has gone to the Jew, after the gospel has gone to the Gentile, now there's going to be this short period of time, evidently, that the gospel is going to the descendants of Ham, and then what's going to happen? It's all over. But Satan then is going to go back out, and he is going to deceive the nations. And folks, he is deceiving the nations right now at this very moment. We're warned about these things, though, over and over, aren't we? In Matthew chapter 7, verse 15, the Lord warns us that there are going to be those that are going to come in what? Sheep's clothing? They're ravening wolves, but they're going to come in sheep's clothing. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, in verses 13 along there, we're told again that there's going to be this false prophets, deceitful workers. Satan is going to appear as an angel of light, and it says if he appears as an angel of light, then it's no wonder that his ministers also appear as what? Angels of light. Well, what does he mean by that? It means that they are deceitful workers, they're false prophets, but they sound good because they're telling the people what they want to hear, not what they need to hear. You know, man naturally does not like to be convicted of sin. There is no person that's ever lived on the face of this earth that has enjoyed being convicted of sin. There's no person that has ever enjoyed chastisement. It's a grievous thing. But the redeeming thing is, of course, that those that are chastised by God, that chastisement converts them, doesn't it? Afterward, it's grievous at first, but afterwards it yields the peaceable fruits of what? Righteousness. But these false prophets, these deceitful workers, they don't want you to hear, first of all, they want to keep you deceived. But this is the way God is spreading this thing. How important is the church to the world? It's indispensable. Not many people understand that. Do you understand? It's the only thing that's holding this world together. But folks, I'm telling you, and you know it as well as I do, it looks very, very well like the world is falling apart. We've been studying in the book of Jeremiah, but we're going to need to go back there right quick, and we're going to have to do this in a hurry. But in chapter 5 of Jeremiah, in verse 13, Jeremiah says, "And the prophets shall become wind, and the word is not in them. Thus shall it be done unto them." In verse 31, then, he says, "The prophets prophesy what? Falsely, and the priests bear rule by their own means," or by their means, "and my people love to have it so." Those Jews that were called the people of God, they loved it that way. But then the question is, "And what shall, or what will ye do in the end thereof?" Well, what will we do? We won't turn over there, because most of us know this already, but in the 11th chapter of the Psalms, in verse 3, the question there is basically the same thing. "If the foundations be destroyed, then what can the righteous do?" Now, this afternoon in our consideration of the 22nd chapter of Jeremiah, we're going to see some of this. And the truth is, if the foundations be removed, then what is the foundation? The Word of God, as it is preached faithfully by the church of God. But if the foundations be removed, now as we looked at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 in verse 7 there, what did we see? "Only he that letteth will let until what? Until he be taken out of the way, till he's removed." And what, again, that is the Holy Ghost, but the Holy Ghost works through the Word. So the Word, folks, is being taken away, and who cares? Only. Yeah. Look at the 57th chapter of Isaiah. "The righteous perish, and no man lays it to heart." They're being taken away. You know, one of the things that concerns me more than anything else is the fact that there are hardly any true preachers of the gospel being raised up, young ones, today. Most of us, nearly every one of us that are preaching the truths of God's Word, are getting up in age. And who's going to replace? And I've said this for a long time. You know, where God has a people, he's going to supply what? He's going to supply the preachers. He's going to supply the pastors. But what if he doesn't have any people? Don't need one, do it? It's scary to me. And I would to God that it would be scary to many, many more people. But it's hardly that way in Micah chapter 2, verse 7, he says, O thou that art named the house of Jacob, is the Spirit of the Lord straitened? Are these his doings? We're reminded here of Jeremiah's lamentation, aren't we? Now, is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no king in her? Then why is not the hurt of the daughter of my people healed? Same thing in the essence. Do not my words do good to him that walketh uprightly? Yes, it does. Even of late, my people is risen up as an enemy. Ye pull off the robe with the garment from them that pass by securely as men averse from war. The women of my people have ye cast out of their pleasant houses. Kind of reminds me of today, doesn't it, you? From their children have ye taken away my glory forever. Arise ye and depart, for this is not your rest, because it is polluted. It shall destroy you, even with a sore destruction. If a man walking in the spirit and falsehood do lie, saying, I will prophesy unto thee of wine and of strong drink, he shall even be the prophet of this people. Now, pardon me for using Mr. Oldstein as an example, but I'll tell you what he's prophesied. Just exactly what he says here, of wine and strong drink, eat, drink, and be merry. It's the social gospel, and he's just the epitome of it. But there are hundreds and thousands of them out there that are as jealous as they can be because they're not as big as he is. They ought to be thanking God, but they're not. They're jealous. They want the biggest church in the country. Well, that's how they get the paycheck, is by having the biggest church. But, folks, this thing is serious. I'm telling you, it's serious. And as I said to begin with, I believe this is the issue of our day, is the false prophets, the false Christ, the false apostles, the false teachers. It is the falsehood that is coming from the pulpits and then through the churches. Well, we're out of time, but, you know, huh? And that's the big problem, isn't it? As I've said before, it's not the Jim Joneses of this world. Yeah, they're going to have their followers. I don't know why, but they are. It's not those that you and I have to be concerned about. It's the ones that come so close to the truth and yet don't quite make it. Vance Hadner lamented this in his lifetime. Said that they'll get up and they'll preach and they'll preach and they're coming right close to the truth and you think that they're really going to hit the nail on the head. He said that just before they get there, they swerve off. And really, they don't say anything. But most of the people are ignorant enough to think that they've really heard something. And I've said this many times, and I stand by it. It's not so much what is being said today as what's not being said. It's what's not going to be said that's going to kill you if you're not careful. The old saying is, what you don't know won't hurt you. Well, that ain't true for the Word of God, is it? It's what you don't know that's going to kill you. Because it's still God's truth, whether you know it or not. It's still God's truth. And if you don't know it, it's your fault. Because here it is. And the only salvation is in knowing God. Well, how are you going to know Him? Because somebody gets up and tells you some big story? No, you're going to have to come to this Word right here. Because this is the revelation of God. And there's no other revelation. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And is profitable. That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. Well, again, how do we recognize these false prophets? Well, we'll just say this. They preach peace when there is no peace, right? They're prophets of deceit. Try them by the Word of God. That's the only way that you can do it. If you don't know the Word of God, you can't try them. They're prophets of lies. We've read that. They have false visions and dreams. They find false burdens. Again, Jeremiah says in the Lamentation, they find false burdens for them and false reasons for their destruction. They deny the truth and they shed, as it were, blood. They are guilty. They're guilty. And God is going to hold them accountable. But folks, that God's going to hold them accountable is not going to help those that have denied the truth themselves. They're not going to be able to blame it on those false prophets. God has given us the way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father except by me, the Lord Jesus Christ. Come to Him. Come to Him. All that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But that's not all of it, is it? Then how shall they call upon Him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without what? A preacher. And how shall they preach except they be sent? And so, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. But they've not all believed. Right? They've not all believed. Our hearts go out. There's nothing that we desire more than our own salvation, except that others be saved. But we know that God is, and He is the reward of them that diligently seek Him, that He also is the judge of all them that reject Him.